For us, this day is an important one as we get started in our preparation. We love the process that we go through to get ready. So for us, this is Competition Wednesday. So inside our walls and on our field, that should feel the same as it did week 5, week 11, week 18, and all the way through. And that's an important thing that we talk to the team about today, how fast we get right back to doing what we do. And that's an important message. We're here today because we do what we do and have that process down. So that's what I shared with the team this morning. And that's kind of what our preparation, as we got into today, entailed. So with that, I'll hit you on a couple of injury standpoints. Alex Mack will not practice this week. He'll be listed with a fibula injury. It's sore above his ankle, and we'll hold him this week. And he'll be ready to go for next week. And then the same thing with Julio Jones. We'll hold him from practice this week and with his toe, and we'll have him ready for next weekend as well. So just wanted to hit you up on those two injury reports. I know that's part of your stuff, but I was pumped with the focus that we saw with the guys today. And then now we're right back into our process, so it feels back to ball, which is good. Glad to open it up.
Dan, your young players have done a really good job. Most of them had never been in a playoff game this year. But obviously the Super Bowl is a whole other level and stage. Is there any level of concern at all in terms of not necessarily doing something really stupid, but just not even handling the week very well?
Yeah, we have to have a real watchful eye for all the guys, just making sure that they know the process helps us get ready. And if we feel somebody deviating from that or not doing that, but we really gave them kind of three keys to fall back on as you're getting ready. One, it's that brotherhood, and that's them relying on one another to get ready, and that's their responsibility to each other. The second thing, the key that I gave them was do what we do. And the reason we're having this opportunity now is we didn't make stuff up along the way in the process to get going. And then the third thing, as I said, celebrating is for post games, not before. And so those three things I thought were good keys to stay and get ready. But we'll watch over those guys, especially even though some of the guys who aren't first or second year players, first time going through it, I'll try to share some of that experience that I have about just staying right into it.
Speakers come in about the week?
We will not. So internally, that'll be definitely dialogue that we'll have, but no one from the outside discussing that. So it's a process that we're ready for, and it's a challenge for sure. It's definitely not something that, let's put that to the side. If you feel yourself, the awareness of it getting big or the moment different, because there are going to be distractions. There are going to be things that come up this week. It'd be crazy not to think that. So for those three keys, that helps you bring it back. I got to get right down to it. And then I do what I do in terms of not making up stuff, in terms of my routine and my readiness. And I'm going to try and hammer that point home as much as I can.
When you were with Seattle, were you guys conscious of that group being in the first Super Bowl for the first time and how different it was going to be for them?
We wanted to make sure, much like with our group here, that process for everyone can stay consistent. And that's why so much of the bulk, Mark, of the work is done here this week as far as the game plan goes. Almost in your mind preparing that the game is still this Sunday, so you have that kind of pressure on yourself to get ready. And so that's why I was so pleased to see that in the walkthrough. Then as you get into the next week, we recognize there'll be some obligations. I haven't discussed that with the team yet of what takes place. I figured I'd let that shift take place prior to then. This week, the focus is on getting ready. And then as we get into next week, in the first part of the week, there is a shift, that's as some of the media stuff. And then we're going to try like crazy to get right back into our process of getting ready to go play and play at our very best and be the best version of our team.
Dan, how have you seen Devondre Campbell?
Go ahead, Mark.
I'm sorry. Do you really think there's any way, though, to simulate what's going to happen down there in Houston?
No. We try to have fun with it. We try to simulate at times what some of the media questions could be. And so if anybody has any suggestions that they could throw, Brian Kern's email is wide open, and we're always looking for suggestions. But we do try to train him just to know that the media can only jam you up if you allow it to. And we want to make sure our responsibilities to each other. And that's one of the fun parts about our team.
Have you seen Devondre Campbell mature over the course of his rookie season?
In a number of ways. He's always been a real cool customer, Devondre has. It's never been a moment where it's too big. For all the guys that came in, there was never a time, okay, this is the starter. They had to earn their way and see all the unique things that they could do. For both our inside linebackers, having some resiliency to battle back from some injuries. We saw that with Dre. The second thing is just getting more reps, more communication. And so that's been a big part of his improvement and his ability to play faster, because now you have more time, more reps, more experience together. And sometimes you have to force that. And we did that with him, and he's answered that bell each and every time. I had a question over here.
Dan,
what does Tom Brady do better than Matt?
I'm not going to get into comparing the two guys. That's not fair to either. But what I can tell you is that both of them are unbelievable competitors. And when a guy can stand there, I'm right about to take the shot, and that's, you know, staring right down the face of it. And for years, both of these guys know this is going to hurt, but I'm going to put it in the right spot. I'm going to wait for the guy to get open. And then speaking specifically to Tom, he has such an awareness of where to go with the football versus the coverage. So he can, what we'll say the word, you know, throw a guy open. And then the last part, his accuracy is really on point. You know, he knows the exact depth that, you know, he wants to throw, you know, to the ball. And I think that's why there's so few turnovers, because he puts it in a spot that's just right for his receiver. So I've got a lot of respect for him, for his game, how he conducts himself as a ball player. Because to me, he shows that kind of toughness.
Do you know better than most what it's like to face the Patriots at this stage? Some will talk about what the Giants did in hitting Brady and affecting him that way. But how difficult is it to break down what Belichick and Brady do in a Super Bowl?
They're a very disciplined outfit, and that's on all three phases. And when you watch their team play, they're very consistent, and they just very rarely beat themselves. And so when you see these two teams in the turnover margin, I think we're at plus 15, plus 14, and you look at some of the key stats in terms of explosive and point differential, starting field position, and it's so no wonder that these two teams have played so well. Speaking specifically to them, their entire team is playing well. You know, defensively, they get overlooked a little bit because of you know, the history of their offense for years, but they're playing at a really high level defensively. We always got, you know, this, you can see the speed on their cover team. So all three phases, much like our team, they attack, and that's why it's such a great matchup.
So many will be looking at your offense and thinking that it could be a track meet, that it's just that it'll be Matt and the offense, and that's what you're going to need to outscore the Patriots. How simplistic is kind of that look at what your game plan will be?
Yeah, every game's different. And, you know, there was a lot of conversation like that last week as well. And so each game is different in how it goes in terms of you better outscore this or outscore that. There's a lot of strategy that goes on. Field position in this game is going to be a factor. Who can take care of the ball and go after it better for sure is going to be a factor. And those two things, I would say, are as important as anything else. When you allow explosive plays and third downs, that's when offenses get rolling. And so both of these defenses have their work cut out for them, knowing how explosive the offenses are. But at the same time, both defenses, you know, recognize that too.
Can you go over again, Dan, why you put the ping pong table? I think it started as one and grew to three or four. I think it was four, then I think y'all put it back to three. But why you did that and what that has meant to the camaraderie of the team that you obviously find so important.
We do. And just one of those things where it was a shift for us, for our connection to one another. And I'm sure you've seen it too with so many people who, you know, use the devices we have in our hands right now. But playing dominoes together on a phone as opposed to that interaction, that competition that you have right across from somebody. So it did start with one table, and the lines to get on that table were strong. And so it grew to two, and then it grew to three. So honestly, it's just been a fun thing for the guys to connect. It goes on all sides of the ball, all different groups, you know, competing against one another. So we have a lot of fun with it.
Dan, how does that closeness sort of off the field translate into better performance on it?
It does. The performance, you know, on the field, usually when you're really good on the field, it starts in the locker room first. And those are the moments when the guys spend the time on and off the field to grow their relationship, to get it stronger. And the best teams I've been a part of were good in the locker room, and then it carried over onto the field. And that's certainly the case. You know, you can just feel how tight these guys are. They have a real connection to one another, and they take that responsibility very seriously.
Will your players this week spend any time working specifically on the Patriots, as the coach is already having you wait till next week when they start looking at film and specific techniques?
Yeah, just the opposite. We're going to try and put as much as we can in this week in terms of our game plan. So that's what we've been into Monday and Tuesday. So we're going to follow our weekly format that we'd like to get ready for this week. And then as we get into our next week, we'll have some minor tweaks that go in, but not much. The bulk of our work will be done right here in Flower Branch. That's our routine. That's our readiness. And so that's where we'll spend a good bit of our time.
Yeah, right here in the middle.
Finish up. Safe to say you're doing it differently than you did divisional week when you had to buy because you didn't know who you were going
to
play.
That's correct. Safe to say that. Yep.
Right here in the middle.
Yes.
Coach, so Jalen Collins had the impact last week, obviously, forcing the fumble. But it's kind of been seen with him throughout the latter stages of the season. So with that said, where did you see that shift in his play and think that he could potentially be as impactful as he was?
Good. It's a good topic to talk about with Jalen because he's really one of those guys that we don't talk about a lot, but has totally stepped up for the team. I think the guy's loaded with grit. You know, he had a difficult start to the season. And then much like some other players, you get those opportunities, and when you take advantage of them and you come through, it just builds confidence. And he's a shining example of that. So when he first came back, he had a very good training camp. I think that kind of goes spoken about because how well he played then. We've always felt his speed and his length, but he worked hard to improve on his tackling. He worked hard to improve in that part of his game to play more aggressive at the line of scrimmage. And then he kept working that technique harder and harder and harder as it goes. And the byproduct of that, he's getting better as the season's progressing. And, man, is that a big thing for us to keep getting that improvement. Even if it's a small thing, we challenge the guys, what's one part of your game to improve upon today? And he's always somebody that's challenging that. Yes.
Yeah, on that same subject, I know you're not surprised, you know, with the effort that you've gotten from your guys, but are you a little bit surprised how the defense has improved without Trufant on the field?
That's a hard challenge, you know, because we know what True brings to us. And so I think the improvement is a byproduct of everyone growing. And we're playing faster now. True's game was on point for us the whole year. We matched him on different guys. And so when there's a new challenge that comes on, okay, we don't have that option now, and who could else can step up and find new roles and how to feature the guys best. Alford's been another one that has really played well. I know he had a foul this past week. That was something that we talked about early on. Man, has he been disciplined in practice in terms of the way he wants to go after it. So in the secondary, there's been a number of guys that we felt that improvement. I saw it with Neil. You saw it with the outside guys. Poole's been somebody really consistent for us, the way that they battle. I do like that part of their group. They play with the chip on their shoulder. They love to fight. They love to compete. And all of them together makes the group stronger.
Dan, do you think the players only film sessions that those guys have, you think that helps?
No doubt it helps. Anytime we have defensively, they do some of that on Fridays especially. They do it at home during the week and on their iPads together. The offense, oftentimes you'll see them walk through, you know, today even some things that they wanted to go through without the coaches. Those are small things that go a long way. And the reason they do is we give them the guidelines and we're on the sideline, but on the field, that's the communication that takes place. So, for instance, if Matt or Julio or Mo, that there was a route they wanted to adjust a certain way, that's the perfect time. And then defensively, we simulate the communication out on the field, but it starts in that meeting room where they can start the dialogue amongst each other. So those are small things. They don't show up on the stat sheet, but it's a big part of our culture of what we stand for as players. And, it definitely helps. Well, the whole group goes. I would probably say Babineau, you know, was for sure a factor in that. Dwight is, Ricardo Allen is, Deion Jones, you know, for sure is. Those are the ones that so much of their communication spreads out to the team.
Dan, would you describe the characteristics of the so-called DQ guys you retooled the roster with? And how did you get such fast buy-in from player personnel?
Well, the connection that Thomas and I have is strong, and we spent a lot of time together. We scouted together. When we first got together, we talked about the vision of, you know, what we would like to be defensively and the speed and the effort and trying to create takeaways, tackling, fundamentals. Those are, you know, some of the prerequisites that I was going to install in the defense, and so we wanted to make sure he and I were so clear on the vision of what we could become. And then through the scouting staff, that's where he, you know, was able to impart to those guys what we're looking for, how to do it. And he has a very clear way to articulate to those guys what we're looking for, how we do it, and then the connection between the coaches and the scouts has been another part of that. So having that connection, which starts with he and I, and then able to get the information down to the coaches and the scouts, and then when we bond together, those coaches and scouts, that we can talk the same language and know that we're looking for the same thing. So it's an important part.
The coaches you guys were looking tell the scouts what they were looking for, and the coaches say, hey, this is the kind of guy we want.
We showed the video of, yeah, a lot of different players that this is how we would feature them in the system, that's for sure. Yes?
When you were looking at it's 7 of 11 guys with first and second year experience, so that scouting department, how much were you looking at discipline? Because I know you want aggression, but you can't get guys who are on discipline, especially when they get up to this level.
That's for sure. And having football character is so important. You know, we use this term do right longer, and that's another way to say be really disciplined, you know. By doing right longer, making the, you know, the conscious decision to stay in your technique, not make things up. For the new players coming in, it's also a responsibility of the older players. No, that's not how we do it, and we're going to make sure we stay really consistent on that. As far as the coaches go for that, that's our job to help learn them as best we can when they're here to help take them to their game. But it's the scouts, the guys who are out on the road at practice, that they can see a player's practice habits. They can see him at a game, you know, how he interacts with his teammates. Those are things that as a coach we would never be able to see on tape. So the guys who do all this work and drive for miles and write reports and go to practices, it's such an important part of what we do. And even for now, guys who are at All-Star games, at the Senior Bowl, watching them, you know, in their drill work, the way they take coaching, all those kind of things matter. And some of those don't show up on the stat sheet or even on the film. But when we get a chance to interact with the scouts, it's one of my favorite times because they've actually been on campus, been at the practice, saw them interact with the guys. It's been a real factor. Our scouting staff, they put the time in, and having that connection with the coaches has been really cool for us because now we all kind of talk the same language. Our scouts have sat in our coaches' meetings with the players, so they know the language that they talk, that, you know, during training camp we're involved together. So that connection is strong.
That notion of your relationship with Thomas and the scouts and the coaches and the way you all evaluate players and so forth, when did you see in Courtney Upshaw the possibility he might transition successfully from linebacker to defensive line?
It was at first from the tape from Baltimore. And so when we approached Court about coming here, it was to play defensive line, to play, you know, D-end and not as much outside backer. And so it was a challenge that I said, this is something I see in your game that I think you could really do. Obviously, he's pass rushed before in nickel, and he did that at Alabama. He did it at Baltimore as well. So I wanted him to say, can we transition you into that role here? He's a very willing guy, and he knew he could handle a couple of different roles. The biggest shift was, could we have the versatility to play defensive tackle? And because of his strength, he was able to. So now we're able to slide him back out to defensive end because of the injury to Claiborne, and that's been a big factor for us.
And what about Joe?
Two more, Paul. We got one here in the middle, and then one on this side. Then you finish.
Okay.
With Taylor Gabriel, what did you guys see out of him when he kind of became a free agent again that made you think he could fit in? And then how is he kind of become this nice compliment to Julio?
Sure. It's a good question, and one that we do like talking about Gabe and what he stands for here. Going back to Chris's comment earlier, it was our pro scouting staff that said, you know, they have some tapes ready. At the time of year when the roster decisions are being made, we saw a guy, you know, number one, he could fly, you know, doesn't need a big, you know, explanation or be a great evaluator to figure that out. But what I can say is we saw the competitor there. And so knowing Kyle, we said, okay, how would we feature him? What would he do with him here? And that's kind of the part for us that we like doing. If a player is on our team, how would we feature that guy in our offense, in our defense, on special teams? So we had a real clear vision of what he would do. And then it was up to Gabe to get it down, learn the information, connect with Raheem and that group, and then he kept getting better and better. To where now, you know, that complement is fully underway. We've got a number of different receivers that have unique stuff, and we just try to feature them in that way.
Coach, you've got a saying, bring the juice. For those who haven't been following the Falcons all season, can you just explain what that
means? Sure. Bringing the juice is providing the energy. for yourself, for your teammate, and for everybody here. So sometimes if you've got it, everybody knows, and you'll help bring somebody along. There's other days when you don't have it, and the guy next to you is going to help bring you along. And then there's days when everybody has it, and those are the days to look out, you know, because we're ready. So bringing the juice, it's a mindset. It's an energy knowing, like, and I said this the other day, we're all here for the same, but for a player, we're here for 8 hours, you know, in the day or 9 hours. What do we get done in those 8 or 9 hours? And that's our responsibility to bring the energy, bring the learning, make sure I can bring somebody with me to help get them ready. So that's the juice.
A guy, I hope I'm pronouncing him right, because we have hardly talked about him, Joe Villano, who might be one of the more fortunate guys in the league, has already gotten a ring, not playing a lot, but got a ring with New England and now was active for you guys, I guess, last week for first time this year after being on the practice squad. A couple things. Just what is, like, I don't know if you kid him about, like, you know, some guys go through their whole career and don't win a Super Bowl. He's in has a chance to win with two different teams now and early in his career still. And also those practice squad, you know, they obviously get overlooked, but a guy who had to all of a sudden step in last week in the biggest game of the year to play.
We knew
a little
bit. That this Plan D program that we do and putting the work in with the guys, there's been a number of guys who've taken that step. And fortunately for Joe, the opportunity came. We knew he had been ready. He's been ready for a while. We were just fortunate enough that we didn't have injuries amongst the defensive line that called him up. But I remember having a conversation with him about, might have been 6 weeks ago. I said, Joe, I don't know if your time's going to come this year, but I do know you're ready. And keep putting the work in, because when your time does come, you want to stay ready. And so when the injury happened to Claiborne, there was a roster spot available. And so there was no question where we were going to go. Joe was ready. And so we anticipated him playing well. Not only did he know the defense, he'd been working his technique. So we take real pride in this development plan that we're a part of. So Joe's a byproduct of that.
Having a shot at another Super Bowl ring?
No, honestly not. We'd be more pumped for him than you could imagine.
All right, thank you guys.
All right, you guys have a great day.